at the public hall?
7 o'clock?
Yeah.
Or six?
Oh, that's good enough.
Why is my thing, clock say six? Because the second hand isn't working.
That should have been a dead giveaway.
There's a dead giveaway.
If that's not moving, gee, I wonder if it's working real well.
You know more than I do. Yesterday, forgot what you asked.
Can we yell at him?
What?
He wants to stay, I mean, he wants to get out of here, that's the key.
Michelle, we have to be nice to him?
Do we have to be civil?
Yes, we will be civil.
That's true. Change your white shoes anymore.
You have good skull.
Mom is spoken.
Yeah.
Michelle, I feel I haven't spoken to.
We won't get this lucky again.
All right, let's call the meeting to order. Initially, before we get into the agenda and adopting the agenda as to what we're going to be doing tonight, if I understand correctly, Michelle, you have someone you'd like to introduce to the board?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm happy to introduce you to George Sano, who has taken on our position as zoning inspector. I won't say he's new because he's been here with us since October. And I think by this time he's got a few tire treads on his back. He's he's been run over by a few folks, but he's gotten up and shaken himself off and carried on. So as I said, we won't get this lucky again for a while, I'm sure. Just very quickly, by the way of an introduction, George's educational background has taken him to the ITT Tech Institute, where he has already accomplished his associate's of Applied Science degree in criminal justice and is in process to achieve the bachelor's in project management. So I think we're hoping that that happens this spring, George, right? And so that means he's academically trained in criminology and psychology. Some of his coursework has included law enforcement reporting and recording, very important, of course, for our needs. American government, law enforcement, interviewing and interrogation, and security. So I have to say, he hasn't had to use interrogation. He's very persuasive, and most folks see him and they start confessing before. As far as work experience, George comes to us with 10 years in customer service, having worked as a mentor and lead teller in one of our banking branches and in retail sales as a sales supervisor. And he also brings security services experience for the last 3 years, having worked at the DMV offices, providing stationary, interior, exterior foot patrols, and also as a loss prevention agent for retail establishments. And so in that role, he served as an undercover capacity, offering surveillance and apprehension to prevent theft. So as you can see, quite different from our previous inspectors, we really found someone with a great wealth of knowledge and experience in, you know, the actual enforcement role as opposed to the zoning role. That's good for us. I think George maybe has had moments he's wondered about the zoning role because there's been a lot of education, but he's learning very quickly and is just trucking right along, and so I think you'll find he's going to be with us for a while, I hope. So with that, I'll introduce you, or I'm introducing you to George Sano. Thank you.
Good to meet you.
Nice to have you on board.
Yeah, you were told we had to be polite.
Thank you.
All right, let's start with the meeting. The initial way we'll do it is, first of all, we'll go over the agenda, whether or not to adopt it. And then if the agenda is adopted, we'll take the first item on the calendar or the docket, which is SU 1603-0046. And the way we'll handle that is we'll ask the staff to give us their report. Then we'll ask the applicant if they have anything to say, and I assume from the great crowd in here that we probably won't have anyone for or against it. But if someone shows up and they want to speak for or against it, we'll give them the opportunity. And then we'll close the public part of that matter. The board will discuss the issue and make a decision. Now, we have four board members. We have five normally, but one of them is not here. We have, you have to have three of the votes in order to prevail. In one sense, we could give you the option if you want to postpone it till we get five, but it seems to me like this is an uncontroversial thing, so why don't we just go ahead with the, since it's been noticed, we'll hear it today. All right, and then at that point, the board will render a decision. Now, with that in mind, let's go to the agenda. Does anyone, has everyone had a chance to look at the agenda?
Yes.
All right. Are there any, is there any motion to have the agenda adopted?
I'll move that we adopt the agenda as drafted.
All right, Mr. Matthews moves. Mr. Perryman seconds.
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it. So the agenda is adopted. So now let's go to the application. And this is the request of GLIC Real Estate Holding LLC by Lynn J. Strobel, agent pursuant to City Code Sections 110.782B1 in paren, 110-762B5 in paren, and 110-366 for renewal of a special use permit to allow a school of general instruction, George Mason University, classrooms and offices on a property located at 10340 Democracy Lane, and more particularly described as tax map parcel 57-2-20 in paren, -4E in paren, 001. All right, with that, if the staff would give us its report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members. I'm Lisa Feivelman from the Zoning and the Community Development and Planning Office. The property is located south of Layton Hall and north and west of Democracy Lane on the third floor.
If I could interrupt just for a second, I should have asked this. Has this been noticed?
Yes.
Right. So it's been properly noticed?
Properly noticed.
Okay. Yes. Continue.
George Mason University has other offices within the building, and they currently have been occupying this space with three classrooms and office space for 5 years. So this is a renewal of the special use for the classrooms and the office space for the School of General Education. The existing approved developments included a limitation of 253 students per day, a vacancy of 3,500 square feet to accommodate parking requirements, an interior to conform to the plans that were with the special use at the time, and for a condition saying that it could come back for renewal. The existing space is 9,000, the space that has been occupied since 2011 is 11,815 square feet, including three classrooms, and the request is a reduction of 2,023 square feet, which is actually suite 301. So you can see in the photo there's a hallway and there's offices off to the side and classrooms, and they are continuing to propose to be open from 8 until 6. Another set of photographs showing the entrance to the suite and office space and two of the three classrooms. Staff finds that the reduction of the office space and the three classrooms, even though classroom 344 is currently not occupied, they want to retain that as an option for them. We've had no complaints. It's been successful for 5 years. The vacancy rate of 3,500 square feet is now exceeding that. And there's currently the zoning ordinance rewrite, which would change dramatically the amount of parking that would be on this property. I don't know if you've read the staff report, but we point out that while there's two, the ratio is 1 to 250 currently for office, it would be 1 to 400 in the future, and that would allow a larger flexibility of space. And also the classrooms, as we calculated them in 2011, was 1 for 3 students, and in the future it would be 10 per classroom. So there would be approximately 60 extra parking spaces in the future, given the zoning ordinance rewrite. So there would be adequate parking for the classrooms in the future, as well as the way that we've calculated it
under our requirements and with the vacancy rate that we've had in the development condition from 2011, and we're proposing that to continue. So based on the analysis of the criteria outlined in the City Code Section 110.72b1 and 110.762b5 and 110.366 and the reduction of the office space, staff is recommending approval of the special use renewal without term for the School of General Education with the conditions, one, that there be no more than 253 students on the property daily, Monday through Friday, and the class size shall be limited to 25 students. And then the applicant shall maintain a vacancy of 3,500 square feet of gross floor area in the office building in order to accommodate required parking for a period of 1 year from the date of approval of the special use permit and until the applicant and a George Mason University representative shall meet with city staff to review the parking demand and the adequacy of the on-site parking. And if the parking is found to be sufficient to accommodate the George Mason University use and other tenants, that would fully occupy the office building, the 3,500 square feet occupancy limitation may be removed. And with that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Yes, I have a couple of questions. I'm trying to gather exactly what you mean by the 3,500 square foot vacancy requirement. The applicant in this case is not actually George Mason, but it's the real estate holding company that owns the building. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. And so what they're agreeing to, if they accept this condition when they accepted it in the past,
yes,
is that out of the total square footage of the building, they will allow 3,500 square feet to be vacant during the term of the use.
Yes.
Unless eliminated 1 year from now by meeting with the city.
Correct.
Now, I'd like to, I notice you refer to the zoning rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
And let's assume the zoning rewrite is passed by the City Council. Then, at that point, would the parking, the new parking requirements in the rewrite zoning come into play and basically apply to this permit, special use permit, and I don't want to say retroactively, it'd be prospectively from that point forward. Would you, is that the way you guys look at it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is the way that we're looking at it.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I think just because I have the history, originally the idea of the university locating these classrooms and these offices, we really did not have any background experience with them at this location. And at that time, I believe they were actually under operation, and it mm-hmm. came to light that they needed the special use permit. And so we wanted to leave the door open as much as we could to see just what the parking demand would be. And so keeping that 3,500 square feet unoccupied kept their demand lower and allowed for some opportunity to just see how this use operated and what their parking demand would be. But with the adoption of the rewrite, and we're not hearing anyone express a contrary opinion to lowering the parking rate from a regulatory perspective, because they're not going to build any more parking. It's just that we won't require as much parking mm-hmm. with the rewrite as we do now. So from a regulatory perspective, they'll receive, the code will offer relief from such a high requirement.
In other words, the code, the rewritten code will apply to this special use permit as of the date it becomes effective.
Yes.
All right. I'm trying to remember, but under the rewrite, are the special use permits taken from the Board of Zoning Appeals and given to the City Council?
Many of them are.
What about this one?
If not all, I haven't really dusted that off, but I think that was the objective.
And was this type of special use permit one that the City Council will now handle?
Is it?
Yes. I did look into that, and it would go to City Council in the future.
All right. Now, if I also understand correctly, you have much more than 3,500 square feet being vacant in this building. So around 9,000 or 11,000?
Currently, the vacancy is 13,773. I have that on page 3 of the staff report.
Right.
And in 2011, it was 12,255 square feet.
And what's happening here is the university is giving back about 2,000 square feet.
Giving back?
In other words, they're not leasing as much as they had before.
Correct.
By about 2,000 square feet.
1,500.
So yes. The 3,500 vacancy is...
standard?
Well, I don't want to say standard. I mean, it's more, I don't want to say moot. It's not moot, but it's of no real consequence to the applicant because probably that much square footage vacant, they're not going to rent that in the next year. And if they want to get rid of it, they come back to you and work for removal of that restriction or with the enactment of the new code, then it would go out as of that moment. If my interpretation is correct.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have no further questions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Don't like to be the bad guy in this, but I gotta say it. Difference between having a classroom and having an office space is considerable difference in parking. You're gonna cram a classroom full of 35, 40 students where an office might have 8 to 10 employees. Is there a differential in parking for school use versus business use? And if not, why?
Not with regard to an educational use office. And the reason I pause is that my understanding is many of these are essentially cubicles, and they're used by students in the graduate program, students and professors. And so they're on a rotating basis. In other words, it's unlikely that 100% of these cubicles would be occupied fully at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's more likely that based on programming and particular academic work, you know, there's a bit of a float in terms of the number of people who are there, unlike a traditional office where folks show up at 9 o'clock and they stay there until 5. It's not that type of a situation. So it is a bit of a specialty office use, and that was described. I mean, I think the applicant has
the reason I have a problem with that is that we don't know what the future use student-wise is as far as classroom, because this is considered a classroom. And we have to think on a worst-case scenario, people up here. I've gone through there several times over the last couple of months. Parking seems to wane and go ebb and flow as the day goes. I've seen it very full. I've seen it very empty. But the possibility with 3 classrooms could be a lot of students parking. Because I noticed that I've never seen a bus up there to drop off or pick up students. So these are all drivers. And like you say, for the graduate program, I'm sure they are. I just, for some reason in the back of my mind, even though, I mean, what scares me is what they're going to do with the new zoning rewrite, allowing the increase of, or the decrease of parking per unit thing. Because there's a, like I said, again, a big difference between office space versus scholastic space, if you call it that. Because most offices, I mean, the people are scattered very lightly. When you start using student space, and I haven't been inside the building because they won't let me in for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, it's one of those, we just don't know what it's going to be next year. And we're saying here we're not going to come back and do this again. And then it's going to be shifted to the city council. And I'm not so sure they have the eyes and ears we have.
The thing that may give you some pause for comfort is that this is a special use permit to this entity for this purpose. So if they do something differently in their operation, then that's in violation of this special use permit. And so that causes a compliance issue. So they are somewhat locked in to what's represented in the staff report and our analysis and what they've already offered in their statement. It's not a generic run with, it would run with the land, but I mean, they would have, anyone else who uses these spaces would have to meet these same conditions. They'd have to operate substantially in the same manner, and you know, you won't find many entities that
But what
do,
bothers
that would
meet me is a year from now, nobody's going to be closely watching. You're going to have open up the space. The 3,500 square feet that's not being used now can be used then because we're opening up the parking. Businesses will start clamoring people in there with the open parking also. I don't think there's enough parking. And trust me, it's fine, and I know the last 5 years it's worked great. I'm just venting a little bit of where are we going to go from here type thing. We, like I said, we have to look at worst-case scenarios. And you take a class, three classrooms, and you put, I mean, you're allowed 235 a day. That doesn't mean it can't happen the first 3 hours. That
well,
just means 235 a day.
If demand exceeds the available parking, we'll know, because you'll have traffic issues. You'll have unmet demand, and that will be apparent on the city
okay.
streets.
Well, like I
so
said,
we'll know.
To bring that up.
We'll know, but I appreciate your point.
We should also add that the condition, one of the conditions that's in existence and that you've proposed be continued, is the class size be limited to 25 students.
Three classrooms, that's 75.
That's 75, that's correct.
And then when they change classes, that's 75 and 75, it's 150.
Which is what they've already accounted for.
Worst case scenario.
Yeah, and they've already accounted for that.
Well, again, I've been there a few times in the last couple of months, and it depends the time of day, who's doing what, and what's happening. I've seen that parking lot full, and I've seen it almost empty. And sometimes you go in there and say, is there anybody here? And other times, and I don't know who's parking in that lot. I mean, it may be, unfortunately, commuters parking there and picking up a car and going to the city or whatever, or the D.C. or whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying it's something we need to pay attention to. I didn't say I was going to vote no, by the way. I just said.
Mr. Perryman, I would like to point out that on average there have been 9 students in each classroom.
Oh, okay.
They haven't been at 25 in 3 classes being held every hour. They would like to, but they have actually had classroom 344 vacant.
Yeah.
With no classes.
Don't get me wrong. I understand that. We've got to consider worst case scenario.
I understand.
And that's what I'm looking at. What's the worst that could happen to us?
That's why we have
because when that happens, everybody in that building is going to be coming back to Michelle saying, what the hell's going on? So it's just something to keep in the back of the mind. As long as it stays status quo, I'm cool. They've been great tenants. I haven't seen an overrun. Everything's run so smooth. I can't believe I'm complaining. But you know I got to complain. It's my job.
Thank you.
Yeah, just a couple of comments. I go in and out of that building once in a while. My physician is in that building. That's right. Yeah, and I think Gary has a point. Sometimes the place is pretty full. Most of the time, it's not. And so I'm not sure. I'm not sure that I see a huge problem, but I take Gary's point. But if I remember right, the under the current formula, they fell 14 spaces shy, something like that.
That's correct.
I wonder how much does it cost? How much does a parking study cost? I mean, is it? I guess I'm coming down on the other side of the coin from Gary. That is, if we're talking only a difference of 14 under the current zoning code, and we expect it may go away in the future, is it worth the cost over 14 temporary spaces that may or may not be validated by a parking study? So anyway, my short question is, do you have an educated guess, because I don't, about the cost of a parking study?
I personally don't. The applicant may.
I say?
The applicant may.
Right.
Can I ask one more? How much of that building is empty? I mean, you may not know the answer to that.
Currently, it's 13,773 square feet.
And that's all the empty space there?
That's
there was
what's
more
vacant.
Than that. So, yeah, that's another consideration. If they fill that, that's more people in the parking lot.
I'm sure they'd like to have it
occupied. No, I'm sure they would. If I owned the building, I want it full.
Anyone else?
No.
All right. At this point, we'd ask the applicant to come forward. And could you state your name?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, members of the Board of Zoning Appeals. My name is Lynn Strobel, and I represent the applicant, who is, in fact, the owner of the building. With me here this evening is Peter Rosen from George Mason University, and hopefully between the two of us, we'll try to answer your questions this evening. So this is just, by way of background, it is just a renewal. This has been operating successfully for 5 years, and so we're back before you because George Mason would like to continue to have the opportunity to operate 3 classrooms. And I want to talk about this condition. I think maybe that's most of the concern that I'm hearing. There was a condition that was adopted with the last approval that's exactly as presented to you this evening regarding, you know, allowing, requiring a certain amount of square footage to remain vacant until such time as there was a study done between the applicant at that time and the zoning administrator. In working with Ms. Coleman, we couldn't find any evidence that that was ever done. I you know, have been told just anecdotally that parking has never been a problem, and there probably should have been some follow-up, but there was not. So due to that fact, you know, the suggestion of staff is to bring this condition forward. I would like to propose an alternative condition, which I'll distribute to you, which I gave to Ms. Feibelman earlier today, and I don't think that staff has any objection to this. So just in an effort to kind of clean up and the condition a little bit, what I'm suggesting is that to continue to say that there would be a vacancy in the building of 3,500 square feet until such time as either the applicant demonstrates to the city through the submission of a parking study that on-site parking is adequate or the new zoning ordinance is adopted so that that parking requirement no longer creates a deficiency. And I think that this hopefully will address the concerns. Either we go through a formal parking study, which the applicant may do because they certainly would like the opportunity to lease, to fully lease the building, and they have not had any experiences with parking problems, so they would hire a traffic consultant. I think that that will cost, you know, a couple of $1,000 to go through an official traffic study to demonstrate that to the satisfaction of the city. I've spoken with Ms. Feibelman a number of times in the processing of this application. The applicant did have just kind of some day counts. It wasn't a professional study, but they did demonstrate that there is parking available. So we would be willing perhaps to go through that study. Or alternatively, if the new zoning ordinance is adopted, as we've talked about, that there again would, the applicant would be allowed to lease that 3,500 square feet. I would note that there is a limitation on classroom size of 25 students. In working with Ms. Feibelman over the last couple of months, Mr. Rosen actually conducted some surveys, first of all, of class sizes, and we came up with that average over the years, about 9. In addition, he did do research on the number of students who do, in fact, take public transportation. There's a Q bus that comes by the site, and he was able to document to me that at least a third of the students come here by bus. So I think that there is evidence to the fact that parking, at least historically, has not been a problem, and we do not anticipate that it will be a problem in the future, but we are willing to leave the 3,500 square feet vacant until such time as we do an official parking study or the new ordinance is adopted. So I'd be happy to answer any questions, and again, Mr. Rosen is with me here as well tonight. So I thank you for your time.
Well, let me ask you one question on the condition that you just submitted. I assume what you're saying there is that the applicant would submit to the city
yes.
a parking study, but that the city would then accept that study as showing that the on-site parking is adequate.
Correct. And
in other words, it's not the fact that you submitted any study.
Correct.
Satisfied.
And that's why I said that the applicant demonstrates to the city that on-site parking is adequate, so the city is going to have to be satisfied with that.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay.
I don't know if this is bookkeeping or not. You're giving up 2,000 square feet when you renew your lease, but you still want to keep 3,500 feet. Is that?
Well, actually,
and I'm thinking that you're talking 1,500 square feet after you renew your lease.
Well, let me clarify. George Mason, I'm representing the building owner who's willing to keep 3,500 square feet vacant. George Mason has elected to reduce the amount of square footage that they lease. So certainly the owner will try to market that. You know, their objective is to have that building, you know, with as many tenants as possible.
And what I'm saying, it's bookkeeping for us, because mm-hmm. if that happens, we're not talking 3,500 square feet. I mean, if we leave this listed as 3,500 square feet vacant, he can't lease that space because you'd be violating your approval.
That's right. The building owner is saying that there will be a vacancy of 3,500 square feet unless we demonstrate to the city through a parking study that we have adequate parking, or if the zoning ordinance is adopted and there's no parking deficit, then we wouldn't be under that limitation either.
And George Mason has already given him the 2,800 square feet, so therefore he's really only losing, the building owner is only losing 1,200 or so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is,
yeah.
Does that need to be listed when we do this, when we do the approval? Is
it 3,500
square feet, or is it?
Except, I won't speak.
It's still 3,500 square feet.
Yeah, still 3,500.
Because that's who the building owner is.
Right.
What happens if they lease that space?
Well, if they lease the 2,000, they still have to keep 3,500 vacant.
Right. It's the classrooms.
I just wanted to make
it's
sure.
Right.
I don't have a problem with the number. I mean, 1,500 square feet is fine. It's just, I don't want to get into one of these, flip a coin and see who's right or wrong, 2.5 years down the road saying, well, wait a minute, you're supposed to have 3,500 square feet vacant. He's leased that to somebody else. Does that seem like a problem to anybody else, or am I being crazy? You can say either.
I don't think it's a problem, because again, it's the 3,500 comes out of the entire building square footage, not just the space that is leased by George Mason. And again, I think that the concern is a result of the three classrooms, which are proposed to continue. So that's why I guess at least my client didn't object to the 3,500 square feet, you know, as kind of the benchmark for vacancy until we can demonstrate that parking is adequate.
I mean, everything's benched on whether or not they change the parking order. We don't know that's going to happen.
That's right.
Well, that's
so
why
but I think
that's why we keep it in.
The way we have it written, you'll be in violation.
No, but the way that what is under my control, what I mean, I agree with you. I can't control the city and the zoning ordinance. But what my client can do is prepare a parking study. They can hire a traffic consultant, put together a parking study, present that to the city, and if the determination is made that the parking is adequate, then I think, you know, then I've satisfied the condition. Am I not understanding
maybe
your question? No,
angry,
I apologize.
Not getting on the same page.
I apologize. I guess I don't
Once
understand
we
the concern.
Approve this the way it's written, if changes happen, at that point you're in violation of the zoning approval we gave you. Whether it's your fault, the building owner's fault, or the new rule that we expect will probably happen, I'm pretty sure it's not.
No, I think you're misreading the
Thanks.
The way the proposed condition that the applicant has just given us reads, the 3,500 square foot requirement, the vacancy requirement, continues until either one, the applicant comes to the city with a traffic study that the city accepts as being reasonable and accurate, showing that there is no parking problem, or two, the ordinance is adopted by the new zoning ordinance is adopted by the city, which has a reduces the parking requirement so there's no deficit.
Okay.
And if either of those conditions occurs,
I can lease
the 3,500. You can
feet,
lease
right.
the whole thing out.
Exactly.
Right.
And if you don't come forward with a traffic study, you want to leave it the way it is, and the city ordinance isn't changed?
I still have 3,500 I have to keep off the market.
Right.
That's the only thing I was worried about is making sure this is all right and proper. Because too many times stuff comes up, and all it's got to do is be worded the wrong way, and then you found it violation. I don't want that to happen.
Understood.
I don't know why.
No, I appreciate that.
If the school is not responsible for the 3,500 square feet, the building owner is, well, I guess we do have to keep it in there because if he leases the space, the parking becomes a problem. But I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm trying to make this as easy. I don't want to come back and do this again.
No, nor do I.
Remember, you have to remember that the applicant here is the owner of the building.
Right.
Right. Rather than the city, rather than the university.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I'm looking at.
Okay.
But that's a lot of ifs and ands. But, hey, that's the way government works.
Okay. Any further questions?
I mean, the way I see it, the building is already 13,773 square feet vacant. They've got to maintain a margin of 35, so they've got 10.2 that they can lease tomorrow and still be 100% in compliance.
But isn't that so, the problem?
No.
2 months from now, they can fill the building up.
I hope they do.
If you're the owner, that's what you want.
I want them to fill the building up.
I'm going way out of the limb again.
You want parking.
Our job is to go with the worst scenario possible.
They fill it up, they have to come.
But we can't, but we, unless we do either A or B, unless, yeah.
Right. No,
unless the building does, you know, then the building won't be full. It'll be 3,500 square feet short.
Cool.
I think we're good.
I think I've got it.
Good.
Good.
Thank you. Well, thank you for your time, and I would appreciate your favorable consideration. Thank you.
And since we haven't had a massive influx of people coming in, so it's.
Are you sure?
Yep. Unless they're invisible. Yeah. So let's close the record, and we'll then discuss among the board members your position.
Before we close the record, could I ask the staff one question?
Sure, Ken.
Do you see any problem with the applicant's proposed? Okay.
Just to respond audibly, the applicant did share that with staff prior to the meet. Earlier today during the afternoon, and so we knew it was coming and didn't see a problem with it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, who would like to go first?
I'll take a shot.
All right.
I mean, I think I'm good. It's worked well, I think, for 5 years, no heartburn. Yeah, I mean, frankly, I think if it's not broke, let's not try to fix it.
Anyone else?
I'll go.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. I am not that bad about this. And I got to ask all the stupid questions because they won't. I haven't got a problem with that school has run perfectly for 5 years. Like I say, I've gone through there and I see the parking be full. I've seen it empty. Probably 90% of the times it's empty. So I have no problem approving this. I just want to make sure everything's smooth and done properly, so that we're not back here 6 months from now because something happens. We have no way of knowing when they're going to lease out the rest of that building. I mean, that could happen next week, next month, next year. And if we leave conditions in there, per se, that this doesn't go through the city with the parking thing, now we got a problem. I don't want to be there, so I don't have a problem with the school being there. I want the city's buildings all to be full because it cuts my taxes. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it, but I do like to ask the questions and make sure everything's T's are crossed, I's are dotted, and we go home knowing that we didn't screw up. So with that being said, I'm not all that bad. Well, don't ask anybody about that. But
if I can add one more comment.
Sure, mate.
The reason I asked about the applicant's proposed condition, I just think it's more clearly stated and more recently understood. So, all right.
In light of the testimony that's been given by my colleagues and made perfectly clear, I have no problems approving this application as written. This is something that's worked well in the city, and we need more of it. So. I'm good.
My standard joke anytime George Mason is involved is one more condition that every student has to buy at least a cup of coffee before they leave downtown. You know?
And I would also echo what everyone has said, except that I have one question or one proposal, basically, with the language that the applicant proposed. I think we should modify it to point out that the city has the right to accept the parking study as being accurate and showing such and such. The only reason my first reading of that, it just said that you submit a parking study and ipso facto it's done. It's not, I think the city has to accept it as being an accurate study. So that's the only suggested change that I have on this. Do we have any other comments to make?
You don't want me to go there.
All right, then why don't we?
How do you say, are you saying through the submission of an accurate parking study, and what is that?
No, I would say through the submission of a parking study, which the city accepts as accurate.
Oh.
And as showing that, and then you add in the on-site parking is adequate.
Okay.
So that would be, so now the city has the option of pushing back.
That's correct.
Good. Okay, good.
And the way this is done, well, the way the applicant has proposed that, I think it's a good idea, rather than put within a year, they have to come forward. Leave it to the applicant if they want to get the restriction lifted. They have the onus of coming forward and moving it, unless, of course, the zoning ordinance is changed by the city to eliminate this issue. So does anyone care to make a motion?
Sure, I'll make the motion. I just want to clarify the last words of this, which the city determines as accurate.
Okay, that's fine.
That the
determines as accurate and as showing.
I don't care about the as showing. That's a legal term.
Okay.
That's lawyer jargon.
Okay. Does whatever you want. All right. You ready?
Okay. Yeah, I just need to find my there it is. Okay, I move that the Board of Zoning Appeals approve the request of GLIC Real Estate Holdings LLC by Lynn J. Strobel, agent, pursuing to City Code sections 110.782(b)(1). 110.762(b)(5) and 110.366 for a special use permit renewal to allow a school of general instruction, George Mason University classrooms and offices in the C2 retail commercial district on the property located at 10340 Democracy Lane, and more particularly described as tax map parcel 57-2-20-4E-001, subject to the following conditions. One, there shall be no more than 253 students on the property daily, Monday through Friday, and the class size shall be limited to 25 students. And two, the applicant shall maintain a vacancy of 3,500 square feet of gross floor area in the office building in order to accommodate required parking until either the applicant demonstrates to city staff through the submission of a parking study, which the city determines is accurate, that an on-site parking, that the on-site parking is adequate, or a new zoning ordinance is adopted by the city that reduces the parking requirement so that there is no deficit of required parking.
Is there a second?
Matthew,
second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. All four. Takes care of that.
Thank you very much.
Okay, now let's, we can go to reconsideration of the November 4, 2014 minutes. Let's see what we're up to date.
We got a whole lot of these.
We got minutes everywhere.
Why don't we take the
February 2006.
The November 4, 2014 meeting first. Which I believe
there we go.
Is agenda item 5. Is about 4 or 5 pages from the back, right
into the denial.
Has everyone had a chance to look it over?
Yes.
Does anyone move that we adopt the order?
I move we adopt the minutes of November 4th meeting as written.
Any second? Give Mr. Berman seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All unanimous, all four. Let's go to agenda item number 6.
February 3rd, 2015. Has everyone had a chance to look at all?
Yes.
All right, does anyone have any changes?
No.
All right, does anyone move that they be adopted?
Yes.
Second? Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Again, four votes for. The next is agenda item number 7, which is the May 5, 2015 meeting. Again, has everyone had a chance to look it over?
Yes.
Number
7.
May 5, 2015. Okay, agenda item number 7. All those, anyone has looked at it?
Yes.
Anyone move to be adopted?
I move we adopt May 5th agenda as written.
Okay, firm and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
4-6.
One more.
Agenda item number 8. Has everyone had a chance to look it over?
Yes.
Yeah. Does anyone have any changes?
No.
Does anyone move to be adopted? I move to be adopted. Second. Firm and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
4-6.
I love it. We went February to May from 2015 to 2016.
I didn't. Oh, is that what it was?
Check the year.
I didn't have my glasses on, all right?
Any staff comments?
No. I'm still trying to get caught up on the minutes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now we get into the board comments, and I just have one question. What is the status on the zoning rewrite? May 23rd, is that going to be some kind of meeting?
Yes, that's the first public hearing with the Planning Commission. There have already been work sessions with both the Planning Commission and the City Council. And any comments generated by the Planning Commission were then reviewed by staff and consolidated and presented to the City Council. So there were some items that staff was able to go back to the Planning Commission and answer questions for them, and they became essentially non-issues with the Planning Commission. And so it really the only things that were forwarded to the City Council were the items that the Commission felt they were not necessarily the board to make the decision or the body to make the decision. So then there were work sessions with the City Council. There were two work sessions with the City Council just because of the length of the document and the discussion. And so now on May 23rd, the Planning Commission will have a formal public hearing and take all public comment. And at the same time, the ordinance will require rezoning of, Fair Oaks. No, it's the townhouse development on Ridge Avenue that escapes me, and I apologize. Because the new rewrite will eliminate the RT6 district and roll that district into just the RT. I think it's rolling into just the basic RT. So in effect, it's a rezoning of that property, but it doesn't diminish their property rights or give them anything additional. It's just rolling that district into a new nomenclature. But it is a legislative action, so there will be in essence, a rezoning action. But that's the only property in the city where the zoning will be affected. But that will be considered along with, along with the zoning ordinance, and the subdivision regulations as well. So Planning Commission will consider that on the 23rd, and unless they decide they need a second hearing, then hopefully we'll get to the City Council on June 23rd, so exactly a month later. And hopefully one hearing is all it takes and we'll have an adoption that night. But there is an opportunity, and if the Council or the Commission feel the need to continue, if the public hearing testimony warrants it or there's enough discussion, I think we would still have time for an adoption before the August recess. So at least our fingers are crossed for that. So the board will receive their copies. I know that the City Council and the Planning Commission are getting copies this week. And it is unclear at the moment whether we'll be providing hard copies to the board, the Board of Architecture Review and the Board of Zoning Appeals, or electronic copies or some combination thereof. So we're still trying, and I'm not sure exactly when. I know that the idea is to have the Planning Commission and City Council receive theirs first, even before other boards and commissions or the public actually sees the final document. So there'll be a few days when it'll just be in the Planning Commission and Council's hands. So we're on our way.
So we should have it about a week before?
I think so. Oh, I think before that. Okay. I was talking to Brooke today, so I think before that.
And what is your estimated date on that?
Well, if it's the 23rd, and say 2 weeks, it would be the 9th,
sure.
Say next Monday.
Right.
Sort of. Yeah.
We do have one application in the wings, Lisa, and I don't know where you think that may land on the on the board's agenda.
We actually have possibly two. One, which is a special exception for a fence, which is an increase from 4 feet for a front yard to 6 feet for the fence, and then pillars 7 and 9 feet and a gate 9 feet on Chainbridge Road. And the second one is a variance, and that application hasn't been accepted yet, since we have information that hasn't been provided about the background. And we've asked the applicant to give us the history of this property. It's a little complicated, to say the least, and they haven't come forward with that. So I can't really say that that would be a July date, but the fence application may be a July date.
Is there a particular reason why that would even make it that far? I mean, from what you just said, that's totally absurd. 9 foot fence and gate, 6 feet in the front. I mean, I'm sorry, but maybe it's just me. I don't know how everybody else feels. I find that totally absurd.
I want that drivers.
Well, so does everybody else, but better fences make better neighbors.
Actually, I have to say that this is an application for just the front, because it is a circular drive. And as I understand it, they've had many people use their driveway, and they don't like that. They
then
want...
stop it. Don't put up a bigger fence. They're not going to fence their driveway, are they?
You're going to put a gate in that has a...
electronic gate. Well, if it's 4 foot tall or 6 foot tall, it would make a damn bit of difference. Anybody going to drive through it.
That's why it's going to be 9 feet.
This is what it ends up being. And I hate these, because it's what they want, not what they need. And these come through all the time, and I just, you guys don't have the right to just say no. Okay.
I might
due process.
I'm looking forward to that. Let me tell you.
I might be with you on this one.
You're going to finally agree with me?
I might be with you on this
Lord,
one. I still got to see pictures, though.
I got what you need to see. 9 foot fence?
I got to see pictures.
Are they keeping it in their grills? Well,
could be proximity. I mean,
it's
it could be.
It's
I mean,
not
you,
prejudged.
Yeah.
Right. That's what you hear about.
I won't prejudge, no.
Keep an open mind.
You're forgetting your dog, yeah.
Have to listen with an ear to be.
Okay, well, I could be absent for that, because you know what I'm going to say. What's the other one? Do you know?
Variance.
The variance? Maybe Michelle might explore. The variance is actually a parcel that is somewhat landlocked. It has a long history of a 10-foot side, and there's been parcels that have been separated. So as I said, there's a long history of this property, but
we've had landlocked before.
It's not actually. It has an outlet to a road.
In other words, there was a bigger piece of lot
that they cut down, and now they want us to make it.
No, actually, it was continuously existing, and it has 10-foot frontage, and then there were 10 feet on the side, which are still there, but it's not available to them. Yeah. And then
how
there were.
What house are we talking about?
The address.
Oh, it's a proposal to develop
a
remnant
piece. So you bought
a
piece of property that's undevelopable, and now they want us to.
It's always been existing.
It's an inheritance.
But you're missing my point. They
situation.
Want to build on something they can't build.
It does not meet the subdivision regulations for frontage. For frontage, right.
Okay.
And so they're seeking relief, because it is not One could argue it's not a self-imposed hardship. It's the way the land has been left after the initial subdivision, right?
It's non-conforming in that sense.
Yeah.
And it has 10-foot frontage, which...
I'll have to brush up on it, that's what...
Has the Virginia Supreme Court interpreted the new variance statute?
They changed it. Initially, it was for...
Oh, I know the legislature did, but has the Virginia Supreme Court, since that enactment, looked into variance?
Not aware.
Well, anything else? Anyone move that we...
No.
You want to stay here?
No, I'm above the show.
Okay.
Michelle, our usual, that I'm going to say it because Ellen's not here. Spring is here, things are blossoming, especially signs of...
Oh, we got the little wavy things coming in.
Right. All kinds of neat junk. I mean, when spring hits, people go nuts. There's some company out here that's appropriating property, and they put signs up about getting the best dollar for the buck or whatever. And there are signs all over, at least the five neighborhoods I deal with, they're all over the place. You want pictures? I can get you a picture.
I'm sorry, what's the product? Or what are they?
They want to buy your house.
We buy your house in 7 days.
Right, well, I don't know.
One of those kind.
One of those kind.
Yeah.
Okay, stick in the ground.
Yeah, stick in the ground.
And it wouldn't be so ugly with all the candidate signs out, but once the candidates get their signs out, these going to... they're all over the place.
In the public right-of-way would be a public works removal.
Right, but these are in the yard.
Okay.
And it's a commercial sign.
In the Westmore area?
There's several in Joyce Heights, Autumn Woods, Westmore, and Ardmore.
Okay, well...
Just to narrow it down.
I have an inspector now here.
My other one is, why the hell do I have to tell the police the exact property that an illegal truck's in front of? People driving there, coming here tonight, I passed four or five work trucks parked in front of houses. They'll be there all night. But if I can't call them and give them an address, they won't go looking for them. Now, I'm sorry, but we have four districts. We have a cop in each district after midnight. They can't peruse the communities and write these tickets.
I had the chief of police at my Council of Civic Association meeting last month. Could have asked him directly. He was he was very accessible.
I don't think it's the citizen's job to turn their neighbors in. I think it's the police job to go find these. I mean, if you're cruising the neighborhoods, which is your job, and you pass a van that's got writing on it...
Well, how many parking enforcers do they have? Because that's what...
Well, they're never there during the day when the parking enforcer's there.
There's your problem.
Well, I didn't say it was easy, but police do write parking tickets.
Yeah, but...
And if they write a few of them, it's $100 a pop. If they come and write you a ticket for parking a work truck in a community, it's $100. They're not going to do it more than once or twice. They'll come the first time screaming at a judge, and it's unfair. We still haven't fixed the problems you and I went and saw. That guy still got two in his backyard, one on the street. Corner of Oakwood and Chestnut. He put in that big slab in the back to put the two trucks on. Go by there any night. All three vehicles are there. You're allowed one. I don't have a problem with that. But I showed you a couple others that have two. One guy's got an old truck and a new one sitting in front. That's one of them. I mean, I shouldn't have to go out and do this stuff. We got to get on it. George, you hear me?
George, you need an assistant?
No, George stopped by and saw me one day. I was glad to meet him. He was out there doing exactly a Saturday. I mean, I enjoyed that. But yeah, we still got some problems we've got to take care of, because until these guys get fined, I mean, the last time I called the police to do it, they went knock on the door and had a guy move. 30 minutes later, same truck's back right where it was. We've got a particular guy that's on parking enforcement that parks in front of his house with his mother-in-law does cleaning service. So when she's not busy, she parks it right there at Westmore. I call, and you can take this for what it's worth, within 10 minutes he's out moving it because somebody called him and told him to get it out. Now sure, there's that thin blue line going on. But again, if you don't pop them, they're just going to keep going. So I will make sure I announce that at the next city council meeting, too.
I think
I'm tired of that. What address?
The chief.
Why the hell should I tell you address? I gave you a street.
The chief, the last time I spoke to him on your concerns, he did suggest, and he was very open to speaking with you and being able to to really focus on the property. See, he said, please have him call me and let's really work through what these issues are.
I'll make a whole list again, because I did it before. There were 15 addresses. I made them, turned it in.
And on that,
watch captain, not one of them got a ticket.
On that note, Chief Pardini could do that, because maybe he needs to participate in that. Sure.
I hadn't done that till now because I was hoping we could do it the easy way.
Oh, he's very approachable, very open. That's his preference.
Cool. Then I'll do it that way. But it's just, you know, it's terrible to call the police and say there's a little illegal truck parked on Oakwood Street and say, what's the address? 10 o'clock at night, nobody's got their front porch light on. How the hell do I know what the address is? You can't ride down the street without seeing it. Anyway, that's about it for me. Was that enough?
For the police, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, I think we got to get on some of this stuff, because some of these neighborhoods start looking a little dingy with the signs in the yard, work trucks all over the place, and it gets old, because ours is an older neighborhood anyway. Don't take much to make it look bad. I know, I'm old and I know how that goes, you know? Don't laugh, you three are all older than I am.
Well, yeah.
I'm the pup of the litter here.
Yeah, right. Does anyone move?
I move, we adjourn.
I say, I move, we go home.
Okay. Oh, aye.
Aye.
Three to one.
No, I'm